In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Please be seated. Easter triumph, Easter joy, this alone can sin destroy. From sin's power, Lord, set us free, newborn souls in you to be. Alleluia. Easter is the queen of seasons bright in the church year, lasting a total of 50 days. That's 7 weeks plus 1 day, making it the longest season of the festival half of the church year, that part of the church year that emphasizes the life and ministry of Jesus from his conception and birth at Christmas all the way up through Pentecost, where he sends his Holy Spirit upon his church. For the first 3 weeks of Easter, which we've already observed for this year, we bask in the glory of the resurrection. Hearing of the Lord's resurrection along with the women at the tomb from the angels. Seeing and touching the resurrected Christ with Thomas and the 11. And reflecting on the steadfast love of our good shepherd, who lays down his life for us that he might take it up again. But today, Jubilate Sunday, the tone of the Easter season begins to change pretty significantly. Jubilate, which, as I said earlier, means shout for joy, which is taken from our introit for this morning, reminds us of the pure joy of the Easter season. But it is on this Sunday, rather ironically, that the readings for the remainder of the Easter season turn from a joyous occasion to one that is tinged with much more sorrow and sadness. Today, Jesus begins to focus the disciples on his future departure from them, not just at the cross, but also at the ascension, which we look forward to celebrating as a church here in about 2 weeks. In so doing, Jesus causes us to sink a little bit in our own Easter joy as we realize that the disciples' future is our present reality. The little while that the disciples will not see him is now in effect. It's not something we are looking forward to or dreading, but it's something we now live this day and, in fact, have lived our entire lives. The church has lived this from the time of our Lord's ascension up until now. We do not see the Lord face to face in this little while. And yet, despite this, our psalmist for today urges us to sing on. Jubilate, shout for joy to God, all the earth. Alleluia. Unfortunately, because of our fallen nature, it is difficult to maintain an Easter Sunday level of joy. Not only is it hard to recapture the same joy that we feel when we sing old favorites like, I know that my Redeemer lives and Jesus Christ is risen today, but it is nigh impossible to reproduce the goosebumps that we get to hear when the trumpet sings the victory of our Lord over death and the grave. Try as we might, emotional highs are hard to reproduce. We might be able to do it once or twice, but we always have to work a little bit harder, do a little bit more every time to reproduce that hit for it to take effect. And now that Easter is moving along, so is the rest of our lives. We've had to go back now to the regular routine of things. We have homework and washing dishes, chores to do, meetings to attend, and so on. We cannot simply live our lives in Holy Week and sit in the joys thereof. Or perhaps yours isn't in the difficulty of recapturing the high joy of Easter. Life has a way of happening. Maybe you woke up late this morning and had to rush to get here. You missed Bible class or Sunday school despite telling yourself you wanted to make it and make a commitment to coming. Or on your way in, maybe you tripped up the stairs. Nobody turned to help you, and nobody really noticed that it happened. Nobody greeted you when you walked in, but you get it. You were a little bit late. So you grab your bulletin, you go to sit down, and you notice that someone is sitting in your pew, the one that you've been sitting in for generations. No matter. It's a good thing that those people came. The opening hymn starts. It's not the most uplifting hymn that you've ever sang, but you sing something about how your sins are forgiven in Christ, and it connects really well to the confession and absolution that follows it. You hear the absolution following your confession of sins, but with the mourning you've had, it just doesn't pack the same punch that it always has, or that you hoped that it would have. Not much Easter joy there. Or perhaps maybe you've had it worse. I don't know all that you all are suffering, whether it's disease, trouble in your family, or trouble at work, lingering sadness over the death of a loved one, whatever it might be, those secret things that we often suffer in ourselves. These are the things that rob us of our Easter joy, and they are poignant and ever-present reminders that we do live in this little while, this time before our return, our Lord's return at the end of time. And yet, despite all of this, today, our psalm encourages us to jubilate, to shout for joy to God. Alleluia. This Sunday, as the Easter season and its resounding joy seem to begin to wane a little bit, even within the church, we recall that Christ is risen. It's the Easter Creed. It's what we say every Sunday of the Sundays of Easter. And it is most certainly true. But we do not live on a spiritual mountaintop. Instead, we spend much of our lives walking through the valley of the shadow of death. We have sorrow and we lament, just as Jesus prophesied that we would. We wait for, and we are eager for, the end of this suffering. We have something to praise God for in the deliverance that he has accomplished for us in the death and resurrection of his son Jesus. But we also have things for which to pray. And this is how our psalm, our intro at psalm, Psalm 66, teaches us today about the Christian life in this little while, this time between our Lord's ascension and his return in glory. We prayed these words in our introit. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds towards the children of man. Now the introit expects us to know the next verses of the psalm, so it just leaves them out. It shortens it for us. But for our benefit today, he said these words, the next words are these. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him who rules by his might forever. The psalmist, of course, is looking back to the great Easter event of the Old Testament, that time when God delivered his people Israel through the Red Sea on dry ground, and then finally through the Jordan River on dry ground into the promised land. In the same way, as Christians, we look back at our Easter triumph. We look back on that time when God delivered us out of slavery and sin by the death of Jesus and by his resurrection from the grave. But the psalm also reminds us a few verses later that the people of Israel could no more stay on the far shores of the Red Sea or at the Jordan River than we can stay in the empty tomb or the upper room with our Lord Jesus Christ. The psalm goes on to say, "For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. The people of Israel left Egypt through the Red Sea to wander in the wilderness, where they suffered temptation and sin, where they failed in their confession of the God who delivered them out of slavery. And yet, God brought them to the promised land, as he said he would to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. They were brought out of suffering to a place of abundance, a land flowing with milk and honey. But first, they had to go through suffering to get there, in the same way that we must go through suffering before the Lord brings us to himself in our death, and then finally at the resurrection on the last day. In this life, we go the way of Jesus, just as the disciples did. The way of Jesus is the way of the cross. If we do not go the way of the cross, we cannot be considered Christians. And so we endure boredom and persecution and even death. But there is coming a day when no one will be able to take our joy from us. There is coming a day when no one will be able to take from our lips the shout of joy to God who reigns over all the earth. Not our flesh, not our enemies, not even death will be able to take away our joy. For even as we have been reconciled to the Father through the death and resurrection of Jesus, so also will we be united with him once and for all in the resurrection of our bodies on the last day. This means that our suffering in this life is not in vain. The sufferings that we endure have a purpose. God says that he will use these things for our good, just as he did with Joseph in Egypt in the book of Genesis. By this suffering, God chastens us. He puts us back on the right track and draws us back to himself. He teaches us that we are to depend on him alone for every good thing. This means that God is also well aware of your suffering. After all, he does not count every hair on your head and send his son to die for you just to ignore all of the details of your life. He is paying attention to what is happening to you and is listening to your pleas for mercy, not just within this place, but even as we go outside of the walls of this place to live in our lives for the rest of the week. God wants you to know that you are not alone in your suffering, that he has promised to be with you even to the end of the age. The scriptures teach us that the suffering of mankind is common to us all. Though you may not see someone who is experiencing the same kind of suffering that you are enduring, someone else has indeed gone through it. But even more so, Christ has promised to be with you in the midst of that suffering, to be your escape from temptation. He promises to feed you with his very body and blood, even as your enemies are surrounding you and calling out for your blood. He promises to speak his tender promises to you and to turn your sorrow into joy. And that, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is the good and gracious promise from your good shepherd, our Lord Jesus. He will bring you through the valley of the shadow of death, and it will be good for you. Somehow, some way, Jesus promises that all the suffering that we endure in this life will be used for our good. Jesus says in our gospel reading for today, "So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." And so, just as the Father allowed his Son to suffer, so also he allows us to suffer in this life. But just as the Son is raised from the dead, so also will we be raised from the dead. And our introit psalm does a great job of teaching this to us. teaching us to live our lives under the cross of our Lord Jesus, all the while having our eye toward the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. And so with this in mind, I bid you to listen to the final words of our psalm for today. He says, "Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly, God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me." This is where true Christian joy may be found. We get glimpses of it on this side of heaven as we move from spiritual mountain peaks to the valley of the shadow of death, living in this little while before our Lord's return. But our joy is hidden with Christ, where thieves cannot break in and steal, and neither can moth or rust destroy. This joy, which is ours even now, is the joy that we will shout to God, the God of all the earth, for all eternity, when he comes again to deliver us from slavery to sin and death. And so as we move from the big Easter that we celebrated a few weeks ago to the rhythm of every little Easter, every Sunday of the church year, let us jubilate. Let us shout to God in joy for those things that cannot be taken away from us. Namely, his steadfast love and the promised unending joy of the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. Alleluia, Christ is risen. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.